Welcome back into That Much Further West. Well, let's try that again. Welcome back into That Much Further West, the podcast. I'm Eric.
Mike.
Phil. And that was easy to say.
Yeah. And there's Chris Solar over there. A little less in the peanut gallery department. We're having a little fun. We got Max here with us. And
hi.
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing great.
And Lockwood Porter.
Awesome.
Yeah. And we're kind of jamming them in here before a show tonight at the White Eagle. So
and then we're sending the peanut gallery over so they can see
the show. They're all going to go see the show. So yeah. It's all perfect.
So it'll be nice and quiet in here for some good conversation.
Usually a lot of clinking and loudness. And yeah.
There's a little bit of that.
Yeah, last episode, it was just like this background of Kip the entire 2 hours.
At one point, he was standing there. I'm pointing behind the bar. And I was just like, and he's like, oh yeah, sorry.
God bless you.
Yeah,
but yeah, great to have Max here. He's up from the Bay Area and doing a series of shows up I-5 here.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome, brother. Yeah, and playing the White Eagle tonight. So we told you about this show last time around
with Indian Head and Anna Tivell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it's a great show.
It should be a good night. Yeah,
good friends farce.
By the time you hear this, it'll be over and you missed it, suckers.
Awesome.
Pay attention.
Well, if you're a real hardcore podcast listener, you know that we were playing Max's record, the M. Lockwood Porter record 27, mm-hmm. quite a bit at the back half of last year. And so we're thrilled to have a buddy from out of town here.
Thanks for being here.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me.
And
thanks
how was the response to that, man? It seemed like everybody was really excited about it. I heard a lot of great things, a lot of great things written about it.
Yeah, pretty good. There are a lot of great reviews. And got some good radio play, and actually we're doing a re-release in the UK later this year in August. So it's kind of like going to get like this second little bump.
Cool. Would be nice. And then are you going over for that?
Well, it depends on how the record does.
Okay. Right on.
We send that to Hillfunk and let him do some rambling.
If we've learned anything from this podcast and just talking to people in this genre of music, Europe is the place to go
because they flock
over there, you know, for American music in America on roots rock. And
yeah, our buddy Bernard Howard is doing really well over there.
Oh yeah, he's a Portland guy too.
Yeah,
his new record's great.
Yeah, sensational. Yeah, we're hoping to get him down here.
I got to listen to that whole thing today too. Oh, yeah. It was really good. Yeah. Somebody had posted it early.
Bernard's amazing.
Yeah,
cool. Right on. Well, it's there's a lot of kind of talk about how 27 had a little bit of a theme to it. It was ruminations on. Turning 27 or?
Yeah, so I'm currently 27.
Okay.
I also was when the record came out.
Okay,
and
cool.
I'd written all the songs, recorded the whole record. It had been mixed. I was sending it off to be mastered, and I was trying to think of like a title for it. And I had this song on the record called Chris Bell, and it's about Chris Bell from Big Star. If you don't know who Big Star is, they're this power pop band from Memphis that put out 3 records in the 70s. And Chris Bell was one of the main, he was a founder of the band. He wrote half the songs on their first record, number one record. And then he wrote a bunch of great solo tunes as well.
Indeed he did.
Yeah. And just fantastic songwriter. And he ended up like so many rock and roll legends, he ended up dying at the age of 27. He crashed his car into a tree. And it's, you know, very, very sad. And I had this song about Chris Bell that I'd written because I was listening to the Replacements song, Alex Chilton, one day and just thinking, like, there's a song about Alex Chilton, the other kind of main guy in Big Star. I was like, someone should write a song about Chris Bell. So I'd already had the song about Chris Bell, and I was just turning 27 as the record was being mastered. And all these songs are kind of about like a very specific place in my life at the time, so it's kind of like this like unifying theme.
Well, for our Seattle icons, 27 not a great year.
Oh yeah,
You know, and so
Kurt, Jimmy, Janis,
Giants
was 27.
Yeah,
Janis was 27.
Wasn't Jim 27?
Jim
Morrison, I think.
Oh, yeah,
it's 27. Yeah, there's this whole it's like the
27
thing.
Club.
Some of them, right on. Well, let's just make sure you make it to 28.
Get to 28. No problem.
Well, I'm pretty close. July 15th.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So
hang in there.
Okay.
Two more months.
Well, seatbelts while you're touring.
Yeah. Yeah. You can just hang out down here in the helm until
yeah.
you...
Yeah, yeah, just that's wait it out. Wait it out down here in the shelter. Yeah.
Not, he'll be dead by June 15th.
Yeah, yeah. Considering the only...
Whiskey poisoning.
Right, yeah. The only nourishment down here is pretzels, whiskey, and beer.
There'll be like claw marks on the door.
Well, the Chris Bell song seemed to get a great deal of attention. Yeah, but there's fantastic stuff all over that record, and it's very fun and diverse, and has a lot of power pop, a lot of, you know, kind of edgy punk, all yeah. kinds of stuff. But we tell this story all the time about the night we played Chris Bell on the podcast here, and like kind of a hush almost fell over the room, yeah. which yeah. doesn't happen very often in here. Yeah. And why don't you play it for us?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So this is Chris Bell.
Enjoy.
I know that Paul Westerberg, he sang a song for you. It occurred to me that someone should sing one for Chris Bell too. Kurt Cobain and Hendrix didn't make it to 28, but they don't sell his t-shirts at the head shops in the hate. He said he was the cosmos and the wind, but maybe all he needed was a friend to say, hold on a little longer, though your heart it breaks. The beauty in your music shows that you've got what it takes. Please don't take them Quaaludes. Please don't take that drive. We're praying that you'll make it through the 70s alive. Growing up in Tennessee, he must have thought his heart was wrong. Put his pain into his songs until it got too strong. And he gave his heart to Jesus, gave his body to stronger stuff. There's no drug that can ever drown your demons deep enough. Driving around Memphis late one night, his knuckles on the wheel were getting white. Hold on a little longer, though your heart it breaks. The beauty in your music shows that you've got what it takes. Please don't take them Quaaludes. Please don't take that drive. We're praying that you'll make it through the 70s alive. Rock and roll is here to stay. It ain't better to burn out than fade away. Hold on a little longer, though your heart it breaks. There's beauty in your music and a lot you've left to make. Please don't take them Quaaludes. Please don't take that drive. We're praying that you'll make it through the 70s alive. We're praying that you'll make it through the 70s alive.
This is where the round of applause usually follows from the peanut killer.
All right.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Wow.
Big time wow.
Yeah. We really like that song. It's
listening awesome. To it and now, right in front of you, yeah. Right there, is a whole other.
This is pretty cool.
Fantastic.
You wrote yourself an anthem. I guess so. You wrote an anthem. I guess so. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, you're in the Bay Area now, but
yes.
Tell us the path that led you out there, because you're not from there originally.
No, I grew up in Oklahoma, in the Tulsa area. I grew up in a small town called Skytook. It's like, I don't know, like 15,000 people or something like that. And grew up playing in punk rock bands and stuff like that.
Punk rock from the Bible Belt.
Punk rock from the Bible Belt, yep. Which might sound familiar if you're a John Moreland fan, because he talks about that a lot.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah. Yeah. Shit. Well, he has that song in his new record, Sad Baptist Rain.
Oh, okay.
And when we were playing together in San Francisco, he's like, It's about people that are in punk rock bands that are also Southern Baptists. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. You know?
When I think of Tulsa,
yeah.
I had a sister who lived there and in the early 80s, and I went down there as a teenager, you know, 14, 15 years old or whatever, and I remember seeing those giant gold hands.
Oh, yeah, at Oral Roberts University.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, serious.
What kind of name for a televangelist is that?
Oral. Yeah. Perfect, really.
Probably, yeah. Very prophetic, probably. Yeah. But also, wasn't he one of the ones that kind of slipped through and there was never any,
yeah.
I don't remember any bad thing.
Oh, no,
over
he was
him.
A giant before it all.
Yeah. Well, yeah, indeed. It all came crashing down.
So, what, you got out of Dodge then?
Yeah. So, I was one of those people that was like growing up in a small town, and like now I look back on it with fondness, but at the time I was like, I gotta get out of here as soon as I can. And I was always a good student and stuff, and, when I graduated from high school, I ended up going to Yale, and I studied English and American history there, and then graduated, got my degree, and then moved out to the East Bay, like right after college. So I've been in the Oakland and Berkeley area for the last 6 years.
Right on, man.
So if you do the math, you can figure out.
Yes.
Well, also the record is called 27.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. About six yeah. years yeah. since you yeah. were 22 yeah. or whatever, yeah. right? Yeah. yeah. So, yeah, these guys heard East Bay and they Brian. Started.
Oh, yeah. Brian McPherson. Do you know who that is?
Brian McPherson. Name sounds familiar. I don't.
He's originally from Boston.
Lives in Oakland.
Well, yeah. He kind of travels around California quite a bit. But
he's an incendiary folky.
Yeah?
Very punk.
Very punk politic. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to look him
you'll
up.
You'll dig him.
Yeah, you'll sure love that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cool.
Right on. Cool. And then, so were you playing in bands? What were you doing when you got...
Yeah. So when I moved out here, I just kind of like, college is over. I have to live somewhere. I was sick of the East Coast, and I wasn't ready to like be back in Oklahoma or anything. So I, although now it's kind of like, Oklahoma's pretty nice. It's pretty cheap. And
but you've been playing a couple of shows back there with Moreland. And,
Yeah. So just recently I've started playing there again. Like, it wasn't until about a year ago I played my first show in Tulsa since I was like 17 or something like that. But then in the past year I played there quite a few times, and I went back to play the Norman Music Festival in Norman, Oklahoma, like in April, so last month.
Cool.
So I've been staying pretty busy and staying on the road, and got to play in Oklahoma a few times, and have a lot of friends out there still. So
you're a young guy,
yeah.
and you've been out of Oklahoma since you were 21, but did you guys feel any kind of Okma connection there? Did you hear a lot about Woody Guthrie when you were kids?
It's weird. I feel like around the time I was in college, I just noticed everyone that I grew up with in Oklahoma kind of all of a sudden around age like 19 or 20, everyone realized like, oh shit, like Oklahoma is actually kind of interesting. It has like this like legacy of, like especially like Woody Guthrie coming out of Oklahoma, and people kind of started like showing this, like the like when you're a teenager, you just hate where you live. I think that's kind of like universal, no matter where you're from. And everyone's just like, fuck Oklahoma. There's nothing cool here. Like everything sucks. Let's get out of here. But then like around age 19 or 20, everyone was like, oh, we have like the Flaming Lips and Woody Guthrie. All right.
We're on our way.
Yeah.
There's some pride.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
Max, what's your writing style? Are you finding rhythms in songs, or are you writing words and putting something to it, or...
Yeah, I feel like I usually start with a melody, and I really pay attention to the way, the rhythm of the words. So, like, I think some of that comes from, like, 4 years of studying poetry in college. So I think a lot about the meter and the rhyme scheme, and once I kind of have a melody, the meter and the rhyme scheme, like words kind of start like fitting into that like puzzle. And then it's just a matter of like putting the right, like crafting the story, but making the words sound good together. And it's almost like a puzzle. It's a fun, like little task or something.
Right on. And have you been writing even through high school, picking up a guitar? And
yeah, I started. I started playing in bands when I was like 12 years old, and I wrote songs for that band, and they were god awful. And but
that's how it works.
Yeah, exactly. But I started then, or maybe even earlier than that. But I've been writing songs ever since then. But I really feel like I kind of. It wasn't until I. So in Oklahoma, I was playing in like these punk bands, and kind of I had this like art rock band that was an instrumental 4-piece band. It was like Explosions in the Sky meets like Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That sounds heavy.
We had a concept album about a time machine. It was pretty cool. But it wasn't until like I went to Yale and like. I thought I was going to go to college and like meet all these awesome musicians and like start a band and like all this stuff. But like no one, like I couldn't find anyone for like the first 2 years to play music with, really. So I just kind of like it was like studying poetry and like holed up in my dorm room and just like really like got in like folk and country and started writing in that mode. And I feel like that's really where I kind of like started to focus on like the words and songwriting is this craft, and that's kind of how I cut my teeth, and like set me on this whole different path of like songwriting as this this poetic expression.
So, who influenced you at that time and frame? I mean, we know a lot of people that do that punk route and then come back to that singer songwriter. It's perfect flow.
Yeah.
It really is. It makes a lot of sense. But for you, who was it? Who said something in this direction, and then all of a sudden, like it hit me again?
Yeah. Well, a lot of it are kind of like the big obvious names, like Dylan, Neil Young, Hank Williams, Johnny Cash. I got really into Townes Van Zandt, and I've always been like my kind of hero is Bruce Springsteen, and he kind of like I heard Born in the USA in the passenger seat of my mom's car when I was like 5 years old, and like that's when I decided I wanted to be a musician. Was like 5 years old hearing Born in the USA for the first time, but like I got really into the Nebraska album, and that was kind of the big stuff. And actually, I mean, that was around the time that, so I knew John Moreland from when I was like 13, 14 playing in Tulsa. And, that was around the time he and, his first band, the Black Gold Band, or his first kind of band with his songs, the Black Gold Band, they put out, this record called Endless Oklahoma Sky. And I got really into that record, and I was like, it sort of had that realization you have when the first time you see a punk band, you're like, oh, someone I know can just get up there on stage and play. This is kind of like this guy I knew that I saw play around town. Like he's writing these like very literate, like poetic songs. Like I could do that too.
Very nice. He kind of, I've seen an interview with him where he kind of describes the way he figured out that whole process in a similar way. Mm-hmm. You know, he said he picked up a guitar. He was picking on it because he didn't really have a lot of friends in Tulsa. And then he went over to a buddy's house and the guy had written a song and he's like, well, shit, I can do that.
Yeah.
You know, so he put words to the song. Yeah, and that's kind of how he started moving along.
Yeah,
so.
Totally. Well, I feel like until I was like 18 or 19, like songs were just like riff, chorus, like hook, melody, bridge. Like yeah, exactly. The words were like it was like, well, I guess we have to have words because some people have to have something to sing. But like the words were secondary to the song. But it wasn't until then that I really like decided to focus on writing lyrics that meant something and that were really trying to communicate something.
Now you had Anna posted a thing. Our friend Anna Tivel, who yeah. Max is playing with tonight. She posted your Couch by Couch West, mm-hmm. and you were playing. Was that a new song?
Yeah, that's a new song. I kind of the last few months have been holding up and writing a bunch of stuff. So this is a new song called Bright Star.
Cool. Share it with us.
Yeah.
Will you?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Guys,
great, so great song. Who are some of the poets that you enjoy the most?
Poets,
there's a Keats reference there.
Yeah, there's Keats. Keats
that's what brought the question.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Well, to be honest, I mean, I read a lot of poetry in college because I had to, and I got really into it. But I was mainly more of like a fiction guy, like novels and short stories and stuff like that before that, and that's kind of what I do. Most of my pleasure reading is still. Still fiction and literature, but in college I loved Keats, I loved Wordsworth, I love Walt Whitman, and like some newer poets like John Ashbery and Mark Strand, kind of like my guys. And actually, like, when I was very first writing songs, I remember like using Emily Dickinson poems as kind of like models for like how to make the like meter like match up with like the way that like sort of sing song way that
Stick in people's minds. Isn't there a thing where like the Yellow Rose of Texas or something like that? Some classic song that you can sing every Emily Dickinson poem
is
too.
Is that right?
Isn't there something like that?
I
thought you'd have me there.
That would make a lot of sense, but yeah. I haven't heard that before. I'll have to look that up now.
Do you have to start?
Or it might be Eyes of Texas Are Smiling.
Do you have to start when the lion roars and plus play and?
It's the second roar, by the way. I just had this conversation the other day. Wizard of Oz, the second lion roar.
I thought it was the Pink third Floyd, one.
Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
Forget it. Maybe it was just the acid.
It's a picture of a male lion.
All right.
It's a real recording of a female.
I never knew that. Wow.
No, okay, I didn't know that either. That is awesome.
So actually, somebody majored
in film studies.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because my first, we were talking about like my punk bands in high school. I was in this band called Everyday Value. There was this horrible, and I played bass. And the name of our EP was At the Third Lion's Roar because like right at the time that we were recording the album, we did the like Wizard of Oz with a Dark Side of the Moon thing. Mm-hmm. And we're like, that's cool. That'd be a cool name for our EP, man.
So I've been telling the story wrong. I thought it was the second.
Maybe we named our EP wrong. Nope. We'll have to go back.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, you're smarter about that stuff than me. If it's the third, that's awesome. I just want to get the story straight.
Right, yeah. Well, when we listen to the 27 record, we're hearing like, you know, just not that straight folky style.
Yeah, yeah.
And not a straight sort of Americana style, but you're dipping into some of that punk past.
Mm-hmm.
What were you trying to do? You had this batch of tunes. What were we trying to do with this record?
Well, I guess I get bored easily and I have always loved, I mean, like one of my favorite records of all time is the Beatles White Album. And what I love about that album is how diverse it is and how, like how all over the place it is and how much fun you can tell obviously the band was kind of falling apart at the time, but they found some catharsis in doing lots of different things. And I kind of reject the idea that like, it seems like a lot of bands now, it's like you just have your sound and like, you know, whatever it is, like your album sounds like the same from start to finish. And I think that's like pretty limiting. And also it means like no one's going to want to listen to your second album because they already have it on the first one, you know? So,
unless you're AC/DC.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, if all my songs sounded like AC/DC, I'd be happy. That'd be cool. But, and I just listen to a lot of different stuff and I'm inspired by a lot of different stuff. So, I mean, I had a lot of influences and things like sounds I wanted to get on there. Like I wanted I love the sound of like some of those early Dylan records where it's just him solo and it's like, you know, probably just like one great mic and him like in a big echoey room. And it's just like, you know, finger picked acoustic guitar and like great sounding vocal take. And like, it just sounds fantastic, you know? But then I also love the sound of like Darkness on the Edge of Town, like these big like E Street Band, like you know, like epic performances, yeah, and everything in between. And like we already talked about Big Star, I love what they do with like the layered guitars and layered like harmonies and vocals and things like that. So I sort of have accepted from the beginning of this project that the recordings are going to sound different than the live performances, and it's kind of like two different beasts to tackle.
Cool. So what's coming up this summer, brother?
So this summer, I'm mainly playing a bunch of shows around the Bay Area, and also a small label out of the UK called Hidden Trail is re-releasing 27 in the UK and Europe.
Great.
On August 3rd. So I'm pretty excited about that. And
congrats on that.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I thought to just illustrate the fun diversity of the record, we just dialed up a couple of songs on here, and we should probably chase Max out of here because we got to get him to the show. Yeah, he's got a gig tonight. And brother, we can't thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
What beautiful performances, and thanks for taking your time for us, man.
Thanks a lot.
What a great time.
And Lockwood Porter, Max Porter, thanks.
Thank you.
Right on.
All right, we're going to kick it off a different kind of lonely.
All right, enjoy.
Enjoy.
There's a full yellow. I see it rising. It ain't surprising. There's a pain so big that I can't shake. It grows with every step I take. With every bit of small talk I try to make. It's a different kind of lonely when I'm with you. A different kind of lonely. Even though there's two of us together. It's the path of least resistance. I got what I was looking for. Then I prayed for just a little bit more. But I can't bring myself to shut that door. It's a different kind of lonely. Such a letdown. Now I'm soaked to the bone. I don't wanna go home, cause there's a place I gotta be. And you can't go back, you can never go back. At least it's what they all say to me. And I rage against the voices that tell me to find my place. I just can't settle down in some small town and let my whole life go to waste. Because I'm restless, I know there's gotta be something.
Footsteps. Well, the angel on my shoulder said, boy, wait until you're older. Well, I wish that I'd known then he was a liar. Well, I wish that I'd known then he was a liar. That summer many years ago we stopped in Coeur d'Alene. Prettiest place I've ever seen, do you remember? Love's a game I never win, although I try and try again. But heaven must be lust at 17. Well, heaven must be lust at 17. I could crawl inside your heart and look around. Would I weep at what I found? Did you ever love me? Well, the devil in my mind, he keeps me hungry all the time. And one heart beating such a lonely sound. One heart beating such a lonely sound. Just animals that one day soon will die. And when I curse up at the sky that no one hears me, the only truth I've ever known was in the moonlight water on your skin. I'd rather live for nothing than a lie. I'd rather live for nothing than a lie.
Hey y'all, this is Ron Rogers from the Wailing Wind, and you're listening to That Much Further West podcast.
Hell yeah, you are.
Yeah, you bet.
My door, there's a
And we're back. We had to send Phil and Max back to the Weagle so Max could get to his show tonight. So it's just Eric and I now. Alone, the lights have been dimmed.
You know, Mike, this reminds me of the old days.
It is. This is how it started.
It just used to be you and I. And
we were much closer, though, because we used to sit in a booth.
Yeah.
We're kind of big fellas.
Yeah.
So we were touching shoulders quite a bit.
I still think we need that bear couch down here. Thank you,
I think
Justin.
You have to steal it from like Yellowstone or something like that. It was so you just listened to the new song by Ron Rogers. Great local Portland band.
Sorry, I took away the screen. Yeah,
let me know.
Ron Rogers and the Wailing Wind. Philly made contact, and that was a great song.
Yeah, Ron's been on the podcast before.
Yep,
he's a good guy. He's a great player,
and
band. If you live in the Portland area, you have a chance to see him quite a bit. So if you do, check him out. That's for sure.
Ron, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. It meant a lot.
So we got some new songs coming up that we are excited to play. And most importantly, we're excited to play the next song. But first, we're going to talk about some shows.
Absolutely.
Should we talk about some shows?
Absolutely.
All right. on May the 22nd at the White Eagle, the Evangenitals with the Get Right Gospel Review.
Sweet.
Yes, that is going to be a great show.
If you believe in Jesus, don't go. You'll be mad.
No, if you do believe in Jesus, go, because you'll learn something. Also on the 22nd is the Earnest Lovers EP release with Kahalen Morrison and Country Hammer and Doug and D at the Secret Society. That'll be a great show, too. The Earnest Lovers are on the podcast.
Yep.
Van Genitals has been on the podcast.
Yep.
Get Rights have been on the podcast.
Yep.
Kahalen has been played on the podcast, but hasn't been down here yet, which hopefully we'll get him down here at some point.
But all of you knew that already.
Yeah, because you're all avid listeners.
Super fans.
Yes.
Yeah. So I want to talk about a show.
Okay.
So since we all last spoke, I went to the Mike D CD release party.
Ooh,
for his new album.
With John Moreland and Fernando.
Yep. And, I mean, just what a stellar lineup. And the place was packed, and Mike D had his super Portland backing band hooking him up. It was so much fun. And Fernando's off the hook, but John Moreland opened. So this was my first John Moreland experience. As much as I love this guy, every single time he's been into town recently, I've had Ruby duties, which is fine. I don't mind. Part of being a dad. But finally, I saw that date come out, and I looked at the wife's schedule. Boom. She's not working. I'm going to this show. I got there. John's actually, I had a band practice through that night. John's already like into his third or fourth song. Walk in, the first person I see is Rich Westblatt. He's at the bar, drink down, jaw on floor. And I just saddle up next to him, drop my jaw on the floor, and was just blown away. This guy has so much control of the audience. I mean, obviously, the songs are amazing, mm-hmm. right? And it's enough to say, holy smokes, man, that's powerful. But you're also in Dante's, right? Like,
which usually just this loud, ruckus place.
Yeah. People usually are there to like, oh, no, I'm going to get drunk and listen to some rock and roll, and it doesn't matter. But, man, I got to tell you this story. So John's playing, and somebody in the corner might all of a sudden pipe up and get a little loud, and he would finish that verse and then just kind of look in that general direction and pick his guitar. Right? He'd just sit there and stare. You know, right under the brim of his baseball cap there, he just kind of looked. And he wasn't being evil or vile or anything. He just kind of like musically say, are you done?
Yeah.
And it happened several times through a set, and it worked every time. It just, people were just like, you know, maybe somebody next to him would be like, shut the fuck up. You know, he's up there singing his songs. But everybody was so entranced by him. It was amazing. And then Fernando, incredible. Mike D, the new album's really great. We got a song coming up from him pretty soon here, too. But wonderful night. Went over, met John.
Yeah.
Super nice, obviously.
Nice.
Yeah. It was a really thrilling night for me. So
I missed it. I've missed every time he's been in town because I'm always working.
One's coming up for you. The next one's coming up for
you. Yeah, next time I'll just have to make a point to skip work and go. ask for the time off in advance.
Yeah, exactly. So we got a lot for you, Air. You didn't. Are you sans songs still?
Yeah, I didn't put any in. So
okay, that was me last week.
Yeah, we'll just roll through the seven or so songs we have on the rest of the list.
Yep.
We'll probably come back in, talk a little bit about
a little bit
some more shows.
There's definitely some more shows, and there's definitely some songs I want to talk about. I put a bunch of new stuff in here. The new single from Jason Isbell, 24 Frames. There's Bandidos. Chris Stapleton, everybody's talking about him. He's the new Nashville, but like not the country prop bro stuff we don't like.
He's not bro country.
Yeah. So
new Honeycutters.
Honeycutters. Shelby Lynn's got a new album out. I got something from her. And then from Mike D, 20,000 Miles from his new album. So we're just gonna get into it right off the bat with Jason Isbell song. Oh, hold on, my fingers are getting a little jumpy.
A little jumpy.
All right. But here we go. We'll be back in a minute.
Enjoy.
This is how you make yourself vanish into nothing. And this is how you make yourself worthy of the love that she gave to you back when you didn't own a beautiful thing. And this is how you make yourself call your mother. And this is how you make yourself closer to your brother. Remember him back when he was small enough to help you sing. You thought God was an architect, now you know he's something like a pipe bomb ready to blow. And everything you built, it's all for show, goes up in flames in 24 frames. Yourself floating on the ceiling, and this is how you help her when her heart stops beating. What happened to the party? You didn't notice every changing wind. And this is how you talk to her when no one else is listening. And this is how you help her when the muse goes missing. You vanish so she can go drowning in a dream. All for show goes up in. having fun. Don't nobody know nobody, even if they love someone. But everything is cool, just having fun. Don't nobody know nobody, even if they love someone. I said, hooray, hooray, hooray. Why be so cold, so cold? There's a bottle on the dresser by your ring, and it's empty. So right now I don't feel a thing. I'll be hurting when I wake up on the floor, but I'll be over it by noon. That's the difference between whiskey and you. Come tomorrow, I can walk in the store, it ain't a problem, and they'll always sell me more. But your forgiveness, well, that's something I can't buy. There ain't anything that I can do. That's the difference between whiskey and you. One's a devil, one keeps driving me insane. At times I wonder if they ain't both the same. One's a liar that helps hide me from my pain, and one's a long-gone bitter truth. That's the difference between whiskey and you. I've got a problem, but it ain't like what you think. I drink 'cause I'm lonesome, and I'm lonesome 'cause I drink. But if I don't break down and bring it on myself, it'll hit out of blue. That's the difference between whiskey and you. One's a devil, one keeps driving me insane. At times I wonder, oh, if they ain't both the same. One's a liar that helps to hide me from my pain, and one's a long-gone bitter truth. That's the difference between whiskey and you. Oh, that's the difference between whiskey and you.
sat out on the front steps and shared a cigarette. And that was Texas, 81. We were young but starting to forget. We watched the neighbors go to bed. They fed the dog and shut the lights, and we were on our own again.
Texas 81 by the Honeycutters. That's a new one.
That sounded fantastic.
It did sound very awesome.
Oh, that pedal steel. Oh, my God.
Pedal steel.
It'll always get you that pedal steel.
Yes, it will. So we were talking, you know, while you were all listening to some songs about the great Wildwood Festival that's coming up.
Yeah, super
Wildwood
excited.
Wildwood Music Festival 2015. This is the fourth one, correct?
Fourth one, yep.
Slim Cessna's Auto Club is playing.
Just a little while ago, you heard Golden Grease from the Bandidos. They're also playing from Bloodshot Records.
Yes. Good Luck Thrift Store outfit is playing.
Willie T.
Willie T. Taylor. Reverend Deadeye with his band Broken Spirits.
Oh, boy.
That'll be a good time.
It's going to be solid.
There's a lot of great bands playing.
Matt Woods.
Matt Woods is playing.
As a father of a kid now, Red Yarn.
Red Yarn, yeah.
He's great, though, honestly.
No, he's great.
He's so great. I'm just saying, like, as a side note, he's super fantastic. So,
Jacob Miller?
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan Kalish?
Oh, my gosh. Just going on and on.
Yeah, it's
going
to be a great show. If you don't know about it, Wildwood Music Festival. It's outside of Willamina, Oregon. It's the fourth year. It's July 17th through the 19th. It is a great time. Camping. It's one of the most affordable festivals you can go to.
Big time.
Family. Friendly. There's camping. There's lots of great food. There's, you know, there's drinks. There's, you know, lots of stuff for the kids to do. They really put a lot of effort into, like, getting stuff for the kids to do. So, yep. So your kids aren't bored and you can hang out and enjoy the music and your kids can be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
That they're not totally digging on what's going on in front of them.
Yeah. I love it, man. So many parents get this and want them to be involved. And they have what I call the Mickey Mouse ears, which, you know, is hearing protection for the kids. And you see them all out front, just kind of like dancing around or climbing the rocks all day long, you know. So
yeah, it's
very focused on saying, hey, bring your kids so you can enjoy this too.
And it's very community oriented. So a lot of the money that's raised goes back into the community, and all the vendors that are there are pretty local.
Super local.
To Willamina or to the Portland area.
Yep.
So it's a great time. It really is a great boost for that Sheridan Willamina community. The mayor is usually there. The mayor of Willamina.
Yep.
And
used it as a song or a rap.
Yeah.
Dance theme. Yeah.
It's a pretty good time, though.
Yeah, it is a really great time.
Yeah, this will be our fourth year out there.
Yeah.
And we.
And of course, let's just say right now, Katie and Kim, thank you very much.
Yes, Katie and Kim put it together. They do tons and tons of work along with a lot of great volunteers. So we're looking forward to that. We'll be talking about it a bunch. And we'll probably do some very more Wildwood-centric stuff coming up here in the next couple of podcasts.
Big time. Yep, that's coming up. Also, what, we got some Bad Assets?
Bad Assets in July or in June.
Yep.
Jesse Dayton in June.
Yep. And the Aardvark Takeover.
Secret Aardvark Takeover for episode number 50.
Yeah, we got a lot of great stuff. Let's see. What did we miss here on the show list here? Oh, that Bob Dylan 74th birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
Quick and Easy Boys, Earl Thomas, Corey Quinn.
That'll be a great show.
Yep. The 26th, Black Fire Pistol with Root Jack, Star Theater.
Boom.
Petunia and the Vipers at Duff's Garage on 526.
And if you were lucky enough to get tickets, Shaky Graves with the Bar Brothers at the Crystal Ballroom on the 27th.
Huge.
Sold out already.
Show Ponies, Res Electrics, Adios Amigos, Secret Society on 5:30. That's a pretty good, you know. You guys, as always, go out and support live music. We love it. You love it. You're listening here because you love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let us know. Chime in on our Facebook page and let us know what you think about the show.
Or let us know about something we're not talking about, or let us know about a band we're not talking about. Just send us a little ping and say, hey, check these guys out. I guarantee you, we'll pick it out and listen to it for sure.
There's so much music out there, there's no way that three dudes can possibly know it all. So
three dudes and a Sadie.
Yeah, so we all work full-time jobs, so getting to all the music is a tough one. But we love doing it, so that's why we're here. What do we got coming up, EK?
Well, it's funny you're going to say that. Congrats to Philly. He got that front page article on the Portland
Tribune.
Yeah, exactly.
Congrats, Philly.
Yep. So we got three more songs left. We got Michael Dean Dameron, 20,000 Miles. I Can't Imagine. Shelby Lynn from her new album, also self-titled, or the title of that same song. But I was running across, I was just telling you, Mike, Rhapsody, a bunch of albums I hadn't seen had kind of popped up recently. And American Aquarium had this live album from their hometown a couple years ago.
August 13th, Mississippi Studios.
Nice little slip in there. But I started flipping through this album, and then I got to the final song, right? I Hope He Breaks Your Heart. And I started listening to it, and I realized it wasn't sung by American Aquarium. It was sung by the audience. And this is one of those magical moments on a live. Like, you could only imagine, like, you're the band, and you're playing, and before you can even get a word out, the entire audience is singing. And I've heard this several times. It happened to Tom Petty on a live album, where everybody is not going to let you sing. Pearl Jam, it happened. They're going to sing louder than you, and you're just going to stand back and play that guitar and let them do their business.
And what makes us special is American Aquarium, an amazing band,
yeah,
but nowhere on the level of Tom Petty,
yeah,
and Pearl Jam. So
yeah,
we're not talking 15,000 people.
No,
singing back to you. We're talking a room of probably 500 to 600, 700 people singing back to you, but making it so it's loud enough and great enough.
Oh, you're going
to
hear
that you don't have to sing the song.
It's so incredible. Yeah. And the people we know like this, I was thinking about this, right? Like, we can go to a Tin Barry show and they'll all scream and sing all the songs. Root Jack. I mean, it's a bunch of us. We get up there and sing all the words of the song.
Very true.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many people we know that, sure, it's not a 15,000 space auditorium, but, this is really solid.
It is in their hearts.
It really is.
It is in their hearts.
Anyways, I hope he breaks your heart.
They're
American
broken
Aquarium.
Hearts.
What?
They're broken hearts.
Oh, they're total broken hearts. But I love this. Give it a listen. You're going to love it. And then you're not going to hear from us again. We're going to play these songs out and call it a night.
Yeah, this is a pretty condensed version, episode 49. Like we said, I'd like to thank Max Porter for coming in.
Thank you, Max.
Doing some great songs, talking with us. And it was really enjoyable, but Philly and Max had to go back to the White Eagle so Max could get to his show tonight. So we're doing a condensed version of this. We only had about 7 or 8 songs to play after Max's set, so we hope you enjoyed it, and definitely come back for episode 50, because it's going to be a barn burner with
5-0
with Kip and Stacy.
It's going to be a ton of fun. All right, you guys, we'll see you soon. Go out and support live music.
Enjoy.
know it's hard for you this evening to cry the blues out loud until they're gone. Nothing I can say ever changes. I ain't afraid of your pain. I can hear it, baby. The road out ahead is golden over now. Wait out the moon in this river bed tonight. I can't imagine how you're feeling. I can't imagine what's been going on. I know it's hard this evening to cry the blues out loud until they're gone. Walking in the shadows of blooming beauties, facing the few held on. Been going on. Know it's hard for you this evening. Cry the blues out loud until they're gone. Cry the blues out loud until they're gone. Cry the blues out loud until.
When my air is all gone, all I ever had was my heart and my song. My nerves were raw and my legs were shot. I got 20,000 miles left to go. It's all tied up in knots in this man and guitar.